Churches didn't always have programs for children. About 230 years ago, during the time of the Industrial Revolution in England and America, many children did not go to school. They went to work. They worked in factories all day long, from breakfast until dinner time or longer, 6 days a week. This was a time when only children from wealthy families could afford to go to school. It wasn't fair that factory children had no time for play or art or music. And it really wasn't fair that the poor children of that time were not taught how to read. Some Christians felt that it was unjust for children to work in factories, so they decided to set aside some time on Sundays to teach the children to read. That was the first Sunday school. Children and their teachers met at church and learned how to read and write, to sing and pray. Some children became teachers themselves, something that they'd never been empowered to do before. So when we say that Sunday school began as a justice movement, we mean that people came together to make a change so that the world would be a fairer place. Eventually, children were not sent to factories. They got to go to school, no matter how rich or poor their family happened to be. But that meant that Sunday school didn't need to fill the role of educating poor children anymore. And as author David Henson says, the church seems to have lost sight of Sunday school's justice roots, of its original intent to address a systemic injustice and deficiency in society. Nowadays, many churches struggle to keep Sunday school relevant and interesting. Sports and extracurriculars have crept into Sunday mornings. Teachers can be hard to recruit, and student attendance can be spotty. Some churches have talked openly about canceling Sunday school altogether. There are, unfortunately, plenty of ineffective, uninspiring, and expensive curricula out there, using worksheets and having children sit in chairs at tables, much like they do at school. So how do we, as David Henson advocates, how do we recover the justice at the heart of Sunday school? And can it reinvigorate our programs? Researchers of church educational models have found that programs that are hands-on are most successful for Sunday school, even with older students. A storyteller presents a story that engages the children, often using felt underlays and wooden people. The students explore the stories with wonder, and they breathe deeply into them. Then the children are given art supplies so that they may respond to the story in a free-form, creative way. At our church, we have been using Montessori-style godly play materials for some years now with great success. Our children are growing into the youth program, able to recall and discuss Bible stories, not in a rote way, but in an inspired way. And the group is growing together as well. The friendships being formed in Sunday school become articulated in the middle and high school youth programs before our youth are launched into the world. And those relationships can be for a lifetime. That's all good, but is it justice? Well, I've been thinking a lot about Sunday school as justice. At a time when states reduce their budgets for schools, oftentimes what gets cut first are music, art, dance, and drama. This is a problem, especially for poor and disadvantaged students, because children who don't have these programs tend to do worse on standardized tests, and test scores impact school funding. So when our church offers a vacation Bible school called Mad Camp, Music, Art, Dance, and Drama, we might be living into a justice issue. Our church has music and art every week with our children's choir and Sunday school art response time throughout the year. Research has shown that children also need more unstructured time in their lives for daydreaming and imaginative play. This is why we set out craft supplies, but we don't direct their art. So they can daydream their way through a story like this, artistically. And in our youth program, many parents of tweens and teens find themselves wondering how to navigate the technology and relationships our young people are faced with. It's so different from how it was when many of us were raised. What I knew as a slam book, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, is now a sophisticated app called Instagram. But in response, Lydia is bringing things to the table like, what does a healthy and appropriate relationship look like? And how can we be safe when we use the internet? What teenager wouldn't benefit from a safe space to discuss these issues? Our church provides this safe space for social education, and as a parent of a middle schooler, I'm grateful. What else do children need to learn that may or may not be happening in school? Some schools are using something, children, you guys might know this one, Toolbox, for social-emotional learning. Some schools have integrated Eurythmy, which focuses on spatial and cross-lateral movements that are good for the brain. Some schools offer Bala Vizex, which are exercises with racquetballs, incorporating balance, audio, and visual coordination. But not all schools are able to afford Toolbox, Eurythmy, and Bala Vizex. So the Christian Education Committee has started to explore this question. What spiritual and life tools can we offer our church's children that they are not getting elsewhere? Here in Sebastopol, we're so fortunate, there are a lot of great schools to choose from. In another location, a church might have different answers to the question of what do our children need. But in the context of this church, in this town, with these children, this year we have been working on character building, Bible skills with the older children, and the challenge of self-control and group dynamics while a story is being told. We have experimented with calming techniques and breathing deeply to get ready for a story. We have talked about including outsiders and even what it feels like to be an outsider ourselves. We are striving to challenge our Sunday school program in the ways of justice. We don't do it perfectly all the time, but we strive nonetheless. One of the stories the children heard this spring was the story of Emmaus. It was told with smaller pieces than what we saw today, but I'm hoping you got a feel for it. The children talked for a while about being on a road and what that might mean. We wondered together about Jesus being made known in the breaking of the bread. We wondered where we might be in the story. Do we see Jesus in the face of the stranger? Are we sometimes broken like the bread? And then we rolled out a long stretch of burlap material, and we wove pipe cleaners and feathers and wool into the burlap, each child working in his or her own space, but together making a beautiful piece of art. We noticed how the burlap, well, it looked kind of like a road. And in fact, the cloth that the children will carry forward and spread on our communion table this morning is this burlap art piece that the children made. I hope you'll glance at it when you come forward for communion. When we talk about the road to Emmaus and Jesus being made known in the breaking of the bread, we are talking about the first communion story ever. Jesus shares a meal with these disciples. He speaks the same words they had heard at the Last Supper, and the disciples' eyes are opened. They eat, and then they see. I wonder if we see better when we share communion as well. Do the eyes of your heart see better after communion? What falls away and what becomes clear? I invite you now to pick up your bulletin and look at the cover. There's some art on the cover of your bulletin. In their class on the sacraments this spring, the third through fifth graders discussed the four theological meanings of communion as articulated by Elizabeth Caldwell, and you can see these in their art. The four meanings of communion are to remember, to give thanks, to bless, and to be one community. All four of those meanings are present in the story we heard today. When Jesus takes the bread, he blesses it and breaks it. The disciples remember that it is Jesus. They give thanks and run back home to tell their friends so they can be in community. When we take communion, we remember Jesus. We give thanks for the way God moves in our lives. We bless the bread and each other, and we are one community. You might be surprised by how much depth children can bring to the communion table. Our class also spent some time talking about forgiveness as part of communion. If we believe that at the table we are reconciled in Christ, it follows that we may also be reconciled to those around us. The children seemed really hooked into this idea that as a form of blessing, forgiveness comes to us, and then we get to turn it into forgiving someone else. We talked at length about who blesses us. Here are a few of theirs. Our parents, our grandparents, Jean, Ben, our teachers. And we talked about who in the world needs blessing. They said poor people, homeless people, sick people, our grandparents, everyone needs blessing. The children also noticed that when we sing, "Let there be peace on earth," we are being one community, that being a community begins with us. Sometimes that means forgiving someone or asking someone to forgive us. And I wonder, how do you prepare your heart to come to the communion table? Because if we are going to see with the eyes of our heart a little better, we should probably wake up those eyes, rub them a little, get ready. Sunday school began as a justice movement when many people came together to make a change so that the world would be a fairer place. Communion is also about justice. It's about being in right relationship with one another and with God through forgiveness. It's about remembering Jesus, who spent his life healing the sick and lifting up the poor and oppressed. It's about blessing, seeing holiness all around us, even in the darkest corners of our society. It's about giving thanks, because gratitude affirms there's enough for all. It's about being one world community that cares for creation and all her people. As we celebrate our children and youth programs, and as we move now into our communion service, may we keep striving for justice in all the ways we seek to be the church. Amen.